Welcome to the C3 Oxford Falls podcast. For more information about our church, please visit myc3church.net. Wherever you are listening from right now, get ready to receive as God has a word just for you.
But I want to talk to you about take hold. Can you just say that with me? Everyone say, take hold. Take hold. And at the beginning of a year, I guess, can be a time where you're working out, what am I going to do in 2020? You know, what am I going to take hold of? What am I going to be a part of? What decisions am I going to make in 2020? And there can be a lot of things that you got to decide. You got to decide career-wise, you got to decide financially, you got to decide relationally, you got to decide, what are you going to do with this year, with this opportunity, with this new decade? What am I going to do? And in making decisions can be overwhelming. Who likes making decisions? Yeah, probably about 10% of the room. Decision-making is a part of life, but you know, you can get stuck because indecision can creep in. I found out that worse than the wrong decision is indecision. I play soccer. Anyone like soccer? Yeah, one person said no. The door's there, and I'm joking, but security, okay. I was taking a penalty kick one time. It was one-on-one with the keeper, me and the goalkeeper. And so everyone's watching and no one's in the box and I'm running up to the ball and I decide I'm going to kick it left. But then halfway through my run-up, I decide, no, I should kick it right. And then a couple more meters, I look at the keeper and realize that he's seeing my eyes look right. So now I've got to kick it left. And by this time, I am at the ball. And what do I do with the ball? I kick it straight into his loving arms. Indecision get you stuck. And in fact, you can get to a place where you don't make a decision, but that is a decision. The fact that you didn't make a decision is a decision because someone in the gap where you didn't make the decision, someone will make it for you. So it wasn't that there wasn't a decision, it's just that you gave power to someone else to make a decision that God gave power to you to make yourself. So I believe in 2020 we need to take hold. Take hold. And we're going to read from Philippians. And we're going to read from a guy called Paul. Anyone heard of Paul? If you haven't, he's an apostle. He wrote a lot of letters in the Bible. And he's writing this into the context of the people of Philippi, and he's writing to them. It's a letter of gratitude. He's saying thank you. It's a letter of an update. You know, he's telling them what's happening. It's a letter of encouraging them to stand firm, because there's a lot of religion and old tradition trying to pull them away from the gospel. The thing you got to remember about these guys is they didn't have the Bible. They were the Bible. So it's one thing to be following Jesus and have a reference point called the Bible. But they didn't have a reference point. They only had Paul writing letters. And so this letter was helping them be reminded to take hold of that, which Christ Jesus took hold of them. And so Paul writes it in this context. And he's reminding them that religion will always try and change the external. But Jesus didn't die for you to just change the outside of your life. He died for you to change from the inside out. And so it's one thing to look Christian, but it's another thing to have Christ in you. And so he's trying to remind them. And he says this, we're going to read from chapter 3, 1 to 14. We're going to read all the way through. Do you have your Bible? Do you have a digital device for your Bible? If you don't, we have a big screen with a Bible on it behind me. You can read that. Okay, it says this, further, my brothers and sisters, rejoice in the Lord. It is no trouble for me to write the same thing to you again and again and again. It is a safeguard for you. Watch out for those dogs. Settle down, Paul. Those evildoers, those mutilators of the flesh. Wow. For it is we who are the circumcision, we who serve God by his Spirit, who boast in Christ Jesus, and who put no confidence in the flesh. Though I myself, hello, have reasons for such confidence. Paul's telling them not to do something that actually he has plenty of. If someone else thinks they have reasons to put confidence in flesh, I have more. Circumcised on the eighth day means the eighth day he was born. He was circumcised right there. And then of the people of Israel, of the tribe of Benjamin, a Hebrew of Hebrews, meaning his mom and dad were both Jewish, both Hebrew, in regard to the law, a Pharisee. As for zeal, persecuting the church, as for righteousness based on the law, faultless. Anyone faultless here today? Yeah, that's right. Not one hand. And the person who did put their hand up, that's the sign that you have a long way to go. Okay. He says this, but whatever were gains to me, then I now consider loss for the sake of Christ. What is more, I consider everything a loss. Because, why, Paul? Because of the surpassing worth of knowing Christ Jesus, my Lord. And that is our heart and our vision for you, that you would know Christ Jesus, for whose sake I have lost all things. I consider them garbage. Some translations say dung, that I may gain Christ and be found in him, not having a righteousness of my own that comes from the law, but that which is through faith in Christ. The righteousness that comes from God on the basis of faith, I want to know Christ, yes, to know the power of his resurrection and participation in his sufferings, becoming like him in his death, and so somehow attaining to the resurrection from the dead. Here we go. You're good? Still with me? Still reading the Bible? B-I-B-L-E, basic instructions before leaving earth. Not that I've already obtained all this or have already arrived at my goal, but I press on to take hold. Everyone say take hold of that for which Christ Jesus took hold of me. Brothers and sisters, I do not consider myself yet to have taken hold of it, but one thing I do, forgetting. I've heard Pastor Phil say for many years that a lot of us have a good memory, but some of us need a better forgettery. And I'm not talking like the forgettery where you forget your children, Pastor James. I'm talking about remembering the things you need to remember and forgetting the things you need to forget. Because how often do we forget the things we need to remember and remember the things what we need to forget? So Paul says, forgetting what is behind and straining toward what is ahead, I press on toward the goal to win the prize for which God has called me heavenward in Christ Jesus. Now, does anyone like gift vouchers? You like gift vouchers? I love gift vouchers. I mean, I like presents too. I like a physical present. You can buy me a present. Go for it. You buy me a present, it's awesome. The only thing is, I like it if it's something that I wanted. But if it's something I didn't want, I don't really want it. I'd prefer you just get me a gift voucher. Get a gift voucher and then you don't have to worry about it. I don't have to worry about it. It's easy. I'll just go and spend it on what I wanted and you don't have to go and find out what I wanted. Just get me a gift voucher. Who likes gift vouchers? I will buy you a gift voucher. If you want a present from me, it's a gift voucher because gift vouchers are great. The other day, Jess and I were looking and we had all these gift vouchers and pulled out all these gift vouchers. And we were amazed at how many gift vouchers over the years that we had. A lot of gift vouchers, great. And we didn't realize we had all these, but the thing about a gift voucher is, it's one thing to get it. You gotta spend that sucker. If somebody puts money on the gift card, gives it to you, but you don't spend it, whose fault is that? It's not theirs. The gift voucher is loaded. The price was already paid, but you need to take hold. And I think this is what, yeah, come on, if you're gonna clap, let's clap. Why not? And I think this is what Paul is trying to say. He's trying to say, take hold of that which Christ took. Everyone say took. Not going to take, took, past tense. You need to know this morning that Jesus took hold of you. We're not here because somehow we have made our way to God. This is not about how you can get to God. This is about how God came to you. This is the gospel, that Jesus came from heaven to earth for you. Not that we loved God, but that he loved us. It is not by your good works. It is not by being a good Christian. It is not by lifting your hands. It is not by the external, but by an internal acceptance of what Christ did on the cross. When he came from heaven to earth, he is the way. He made the way. This is a ladder. And so we can think if I do certain things, that's like a step up towards earning God. And maybe you're here today, you need to have a fresh, or for the first time, understanding of the gospel. That is not the gospel. The gospel is not about me getting to God. The gospel is about how God came to me. Jesus is the ladder, but it's not a ladder from earth to heaven. It's a ladder from heaven to earth. It's who he is. Came down. He came down. He didn't have to. He wanted to. It wasn't something he was forced into doing. John 3:16, classic piece of scripture. Do you know it? If you don't, it says this: for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that he gave his only begotten son. Jesus was the result of God's love for you. The sending of Christ was because of God's love. So we ought not to get stuck in trying to earn it. We need to take hold of it. Jesus has come, but have you taken hold of what he really did? Have we taken hold of the cross? For God so loved the world that he fixed all your problems. No. For God so loved the world that he sent you solutions and fixed all your circumstances and gave you a raise. No. If God wanted to send the answer, he didn't send answers. He sent Jesus, because Jesus is the way. And so if you are looking at a door, I'm sorry, if you are looking at a wall, Jesus is the door. And Jesus is a way maker. He'll come into a dead end like death. You know, Jesus died on the cross. You know how that happened? He died on the cross 2,000 years ago. Dead end. Death was a dead end. But in comes Jesus, the ladder from heaven to earth. And what looked like a dead end was really just a doorway to salvation. Jesus is the way maker. Way maker, miracle. That's who he is. That's who he is. Jesus took hold of you, and Paul is trying to remind us today, and the Philippians back then, that Jesus took hold. Therefore, take hold of him. Jesus, here you go. Certainty is not the rock. You ever felt like that? You ever felt uncertain? The turning of a decade, 2020. Some things have finished. Some new things are starting. We're moving into a new thing. And there can be uncertainty. The issue is that uncertainty or certainty is actually not the rock. If you're building your life on certainty, it's like sand. But if you build your life on Jesus, he's a rock. So even if you are transitioning from 2019 to 2020, even if you're going from an old job to a new job, even if you're going from lots of finances to no finances, no matter what, if you bring Jesus in, he's like a rock. But you got to take hold of him. Everyone say, take hold. Verse 12, it says this: not that I have already obtained all this, or I've already arrived at my goal, but I press on to take hold of that for which Christ Jesus took hold of me. There's a young guy in this room. His name is Siteki Latu. He was there. He's gone. Preaching was getting boring. I'll have a word to him later. I remember calling Siteki. I was like, hey, Siteki. And he was like, hey, bro. And I said, how are you? He said, oh, I'm really good, eh? We're on the phone. We had this great chat. Can't remember what it was about, but it was good. the end of the phone call, Satake says to me, "Hey, bro, I can't find my phone." I said, "Bro, you are on your phone." And I think sometimes we're looking for something that we've already got. I think sometimes we're trying to find something that actually you've already got. We're not waiting on Jesus to bring peace. He's already done it. But if I don't have it, it's not because he didn't do it. It's because I didn't take. I got this watch for Christmas. My friend, Jacob Long, he bought me a watch. What a friend. Bought me a watch. I just want you to know, every time I wake up to put on this watch, I don't call him to check if it's okay. "Hey, Jacob, bro, thanks for that watch again. Just wondering, can I wear it?" I just put it on. He already gave it to me. I already own it. Not because of what I did, but because of what he did. I didn't buy it. He bought it for me. But it would be a dishonor if I didn't wear what he gave me. It would be a disrespect if I didn't take a hold of that which Christ took hold of me. There's a cross. There's peace with your name on it. There's hope with your name on it. It's under the tree, wrapped and ready. But all you got to do is take it. Take it. Take it. I can't take it for you. Nobody else can take it for you. And if you've been in church for 5 minutes or you've been in church for 5,000 minutes, you still need to take it. It's yours to take, but you got to take it. Take hold. How do I take hold? It is not by sincerity. It is not by need. How do you take hold? By faith. Everyone say faith. Faith is how you take hold of that. It's by faith. Hebrews tells us now faith. So if I want to get something from God and bring it into my now, if I want to get something that's been done, but I need it now, like it's nice that Jesus died 2,000 years ago and he made peace with me and God, but I need that peace now. Everyone say now. If you need what God has given you now, how do you get it? Faith. You don't get it by just being a good Christian. You get it by faith. You don't get it by just doing everything right. You get it by faith. It is not by sincerity. It is not by any other means. If you want what God has given you, you get it by faith. Everyone say faith. Faith is how you take it. Faith is how you get hold. And it says this in Romans 10, 9 to 10. If you declare with your mouth, Jesus is Lord, and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. How do you take a hold of salvation? By faith. Believe my heart, declare my mouth. What does faith look like? Faith is something that lives in my heart, but it is a confession of my mouth. And so I need to get my heart and my mouth to align. And when they are aligned, I start to walk in faith. But I got to train my heart and my mind. Who feels like that? I have to train my heart and my mind every single day. Oh, come on. Don't be so Christian in here. Don't act like you're perfect. I have to train this sucker and train this sucker what to do, when to do it, and to align with the Word of God. Listen to me, your feelings are not the truth. The truth is the Word of God. God is not the universe, he's not the wind, he's the Word. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was God and was with God, and everything that was made by the Word. How do you get faith? Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. You gotta train this with the Word. Train your mind what to think. Brainwash, yes. Wash your brain with the Word. Because Netflix is washing your brain. Instagram is washing your brain. Don't act, people that say, oh, Christians, they want to brainwash you. They want to tell you what to think. They want to make you think certain things. The people who are saying that are trying to make you think a certain way. Everybody's trying to get a hold of your brain. Everybody's trying to get a hold of your heart. Why not let God in 2020 get a hold of your mind, get a hold of your heart? Why not give God a go? Why not give God your attention? Why not give God your heart, your soul, and your whole being? You'll sit there and watch Netflix for hours, guilty. But imagine what could happen if 5 minutes every morning you thought about the word and you said it over your life. I have a recording of my voice telling me the word of God of who I am in Christ every morning. And it's crazy. It's my voice telling me about God. It's not God saying it. He said it. So why are you waiting for God to say something that he already said? You gotta take hold of it. It's there, but you gotta take hold of it. So every day I listen to my voice telling me who I am in Christ. I am complete in him in the head of blah, blah, blah. Can I remember them? I listen to them every day. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. But the thing is, your voice is actually the most powerful voice that you listen to. Even now as I'm preaching, guess what you're doing? You're saying back to yourself what I'm saying. However, when I say it, it goes into your filter. God doesn't love me. God doesn't know what I've done in my past. God doesn't know this. And God doesn't know what I'm going through. And who's this joker? Long hair, get a haircut, Catholic Jesus. And you, and people, everybody's, who is it? What? And you know what's happening? The word of God that's being spoken to you by my mouth is going into your head and your heart through a filter. But if you have not trained your filter, it'll be all over the place. If you have not taken hold and told your filter, this is the truth. This is what God says. If you haven't got a hold of it, it'll just take a hold of you. But Christ wants to take a hold of you so that you can have that which he died for you to have. But you gotta train it. You gotta train your heart. It comes by hearing, hearing, hearing. One time, God said to Joshua, see, I have delivered Jericho into your hands. But God didn't then go deliver Jericho into his hands. He just told him. Joshua had to then go take Jericho based on what he heard from God. Faith will give you the power to do what God is calling you to do. When you believe in him, his grace covers you and it empowers you to do what God has said. Band, you can come join me. Help me finish. Three quick things I've learned about taking hold. Number one, you got to take hold of what God has given. And on the other side of that, if God hasn't given it, don't take hold of it. Have you heard of Adam and Eve? They're in the garden. And God says, hey, you can have all of this. You can look at everything you can have. But just this one fruit? Not that. And what do? They took hold of something God hadn't given. And I'm sure, you see, the enemy will come into places and try and get you to take a hold of something that God didn't give you. Because he wants to distract you from all the things God has given you. You know, like you hear 100 positive things and then one negative thing, and all you can do is think about that one negative thing. You can't even see the positive things anymore. And the enemy, the devil, there is a devil, he comes and he wants to distract you from what God's given you by putting your attention on something that God didn't give you. But if God didn't give it to you, listen to me, you don't want it. You don't want it. If God didn't give you that title, you don't want it. If God hasn't given you that position, you don't want it. If God hasn't given you that relationship, you don't want it. You only want what God has given. Because God is not a genie in a bottle, He's a father. And so He only gives good gifts to His children. And if He didn't give it to you, let it go. Let it go. Stop it. Let it go. Don't take hold of that. Don't neglect what God's given you by taking hold of something that He didn't. Stop trying to control things that God hasn't given you the authority to control. Have self-control. The sign that I'm out of my self-control is that I'm trying to control everybody else. And so I'm making up for my lack of self-control by trying to control things I haven't been given. But you're being negligent to take control of that which Christ did give you. He's given you the spirit of self-control. God has not given you a spirit of fear. So let go of it. Don't take hold of fear. Take hold of the spirit of power, love, and a sound mind. Second quick thought. Taking hold is a process, not a one-off. You got to step it out. You got to keep moving. This is why we have Next Step, to help you keep moving, keep taking steps. Don't stop, keep taking steps. If it's a new thing for you, if this is an older thing for you, keep taking steps. And if you would take a step and then you take a step back, don't worry, get back up and take another step. You know, like parents, when a child starts to walk, you know, you see it, and you watch on Instagram video and they're like, oh my gosh, he's walking. He's a genius. Wow, next president. Like, calm down. He's just walking. But when a child starts to walk, parents celebrate. And when someone starts to walk, when you take a step, stop thinking that God is the voice of judgment saying, oh yeah, nice try. Oh well, you missed your Bible reading. 1 year Bible, yeah, good luck. You can't even do one day. That's not the voice of God. God's the voice that said, hey, you missed a day. Get back up, buddy. Keep going. Don't worry. Keep moving forward. Keep taking steps. By faith. Have you read the Bible? Have you read about David? Have you read about Moses? People that God said, wow, they were amazing. Heroes of the faith. They stumbled and stumbled and stumbled, but they kept moving forward. Taking hold. It's a process. It's not a one-off. So take a step this year and then take another step. Third thing. I'm done. To take hold, you have to let go. Have you ever driven a car looking backwards? That's not smart. Paul says it like this, forgetting what is behind, forgetting it. That word actually means to stop putting care into something that's been. You know why a rear view mirror is smaller than the front window? Because you're not meant to spend your whole time looking in the rear view mirror. It's proportionally smaller because what you are meant to focus on is the big front window that's in front of you. Stop trying to take this year forward looking in the rear view mirror. Wondering why you keep bumping into things. Wondering why we keep making the same old mistakes. It's because we're not watching. We're looking at everybody else's story and missing our own. Forward focus. You need to buy a forward focus this year. You need to focus. Focus forward. Stop looking back. Strain toward what is ahead.
Hey everyone. What a joy it is to bring the Word of God to so many people all around the world every week. And I just love technology for that reason, that we're able to broadcast through television, through podcasts, through social media, and to bring Jesus into people's worlds in all kinds of ways. Obviously, there are costs to that. There are expenses in reaching out and accomplishing things. this preaching of the gospel. And in the book of Romans, Paul says, how shall I go unless somebody send them? And he's talking about the beautifulness of the preaching of the gospel, how it brings peace and joy into people's worlds. And so the people who are sending us into other people's worlds is you and the people of our congregations. And I'd love you to join with them and with us as partners, sending the gospel throughout all the world through all these means that God has put in our hands. And as we partner together, I know that there will be thousands of people in heaven for eternity because of our efforts together. God has called us to do this, and we depend on people to send us and support us in taking the gospel to the world. I want to say thank you for standing with us and believing God. I'm praying and asking God to touch you and to bless your seed that you sow so that you'll experience an incredible harvest in your lives in Jesus' name. Amen. Hey guys, thanks for listening to this week's message from our church. Hope you'll stay connected by following us online. You can find us on Facebook and Instagram by using @C3 Oxford Falls.